Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the early explorers to the southern tip of Africa when he came down from Europe was called Bartolomeu Dias. As he plied those waters with his ship, the waters were so rough that he almost lost the ship. It almost came apart. And so because of that, he named the land that jutted out into the ocean the Cape of Stormy Seas. Later, sometime later, Vasco da Gama, another explorer, changed that name. As he rounded that southern tip of South Africa, he saw the treasures and the treacherousness of that ocean in a much different light. He saw it as a point where he could finally turn to the east and to the north to reach the land of India, where he was trying to get. That was his goal. And so this ability to turn for him was a hope of reaching his goal. And consequently, he renamed that cape, that piece of land that jutted out into the ocean, he renamed it to the Cape of Good Hope. Well, that might not seem like it has much to do with our text for today. As I said earlier, today is the first Sunday in Advent. Today we lit that first candle of the Advent wreath. That candle is called the candle of hope. It is the hope that we have of Christ coming at Christmas. It is the hope that we have of Christ coming on the last day. And so today we begin that journey to Bethlehem. But if you think about it, aren't we just a little bit late in this preparation for Christmas? After all, we have seen decorations and displays for months in stores around town. The world begins the preparation for Christmas much, much sooner than we are. Are we perhaps too little too late? If it were up to the world, the candle that we light today might be called the Walmart candle. And the candle that we light the next week might be considered the Target candle. And the candle that we light the week after that might be called the Costco candle. And then there's that white candle there that we light on Christmas Eve. The world might call that the day after Christmas sale candle. You see, the world would like to have us place our hope in spending our money and finding joy in things of this world. And so they start earlier every year to lead us astray. The world would have us believe, and Fifth Avenue would have us believe, that if we just get the right things for Christmas, then we'll have great happiness and we will have good hope in the future. If we just get that right coat, if we just get that right appliance. Some people think we need to have a new car. Others would suggest that we need the latest and greatest air fryer or ninja foodie to be happiness and to have hope of our future. The world would have us believe that when we do that, we would be happy and our future would be secure. That's kind of a dark world that we live in. The darkness in the world is shown in many other ways this time of the year. The days are getting short. Sunshine like we see now is more and more rare. People suffer from something called sad seasonal affective disease. The gray skies causes them to be depressed. The news in our newspapers and on all our various screens cause us to have fear and dismay. We worry about world events that might have a negative impact on the future, and we wonder if there is hope in the future. And we lose important people in our lives. We lose friends and relatives this time of the year as well. Just this past week, we lost Pastor Russert. Just this past week, Don's daughter Tina passed away. And then we lost Bush 41 a couple of days ago as well. And so this world doesn't always present the brightness and offer us great hope. And so I ask you this, what are we thinking lighting just this one little candle? We do so months after the rest of the world has begun trying to get us ready for Christmas. That one little candle can hardly light even this sanctuary, let alone cast a light into this broken world. So I ask again, what are we thinking as we light that one little candle? In the darkness of this world, sometimes Jesus seems like he's a long ways from us. He seems to be absent in the cruelty and the harshness that we see in the world. We wonder, can he really be present when there are earthquakes in the world that cause havoc in people's lives? We wonder how he can allow a loved one to die, particularly at this time of the year. How can he let the world be in such a mess? The world would have us cover up all of these questions with possibilities of things that don't really exist. The world would have us buy our happiness. They would have us buy our hope in the things of the future. It's trying to cover up those feelings of fear and insecurity and loss of hope. And it does so with a rash of consumerism and shopping and urging us to place our confidence in earthly things. And what do? We light a single candle. But that candle will grow. Next Sunday there will be another candle. And the Sunday after that we will light another candle. Until finally on Christmas Eve we will light that white candle and we are reminded that indeed Christ will be here with us. Nevertheless, today we might still feel like we are in a dark place with just that one little candle lit. Sometimes it feels like the darkness of this world is just overwhelming. And it seems like it's the darkness that seems to be winning. And it may seem like there is no hope. Having no hope is not anything new. Archaeologists have dug up first century cemeteries in Greece and in Rome. And on many of the tombs that they dig up, there are inscriptions that say, "No hope." Can you imagine living your whole life with no hope? Can you imagine facing death with no hope? But we Christians have hope. We have faith. And we light that little candle called hope. And that candle reminds us to prepare for Christ's coming at Christmas. That candle speaks of hope and expectation, not only of Christ coming this Christmas, but also of Christ coming on Judgment Day. Our gospel lesson is the story of Christ coming into Jerusalem, which does seem a little bit out of place. It was the day that Jesus rode that candle into Jerusalem on not a beautiful steed, but on a lowly donkey. And by the end of that week, he hung on a cross like a common criminal. But then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And in that process, he defeated death, and he defeated the world and all of the darkness in it. In Matthew chapter 1, God calls himself Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not just God made us, not just God thinks about us, not just God above us, but a God with us. A God who is here wherever we are, right here today in this sanctuary, at your home, as you work this week, God is there with you. It is that same God who breathed the air that we breathe. It is that same God who walked the same earth on which we live. It is God with us. But we celebrate Christ's birth in a few weeks. But that's just the beginning. God has promised that Jesus will come again. He has promised a new repeat performance. Today, in pop culture, we might call it Bethlehem 2. But in Bethlehem 2, there is no silent night. Bethlehem 2 is going to be different. In Bethlehem 2, the skies will rip open, the trumpets will blast, and a new kingdom will begin. When Jesus comes, he will empty the tombs and melt the long winter of death. Death, you will die. Eternal life, you will reign. This one little candle of hope dares us to believe that the best is yet to come. This little one candle of hope means that we have the hope of eternal life. Bartholomew Dias saw the treacherous waters of South Africa and feared. He was afraid because he had no hope. Vasco da Gama saw those same waters as an opportunity to turn toward his goal of India. And so today, as we look at this one little candle, we can see it as too little, too late. Or we can look at it as a reminder that there is much better yet to come. The hope of our future and our eternal life is coming on that day when that trumpet sounds. And so today we light a candle. It doesn't look like much. But then Jesus on the cross didn't look like much either. His death was not just. His suffering appeared to be for nothing, because after all, he died there on that cross. How can that be something? He looked like a victim of the worldliness, the brokenness, the dark forces that are still at force in this world. You could argue, I suppose, that that little candle that burns there is doing little more than contributing carbon dioxide to global warming. And yet that little candle speaks of so much more. It speaks of Christ's coming. It speaks of his death and resurrection. It speaks of our hope of eternal life. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses promises hope of eternal life to all believers, keep you in faith to life everlasting. Amen.